No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Mr. Ginsberg has the night off tonight, tending to some fatherly duties, the good dad that he is. Dave, they say all good things must come to an end. And for the Winnipeg Jets tonight, those good things were their eight-game point streak. The New York Islanders come into town and really put on a clinic, a surgical performance to defeat the Winnipeg Jets by a 2-0 margin, just showing you just how good they are when their game is on.
Yeah, I think the word is suffocating. They really do tend to suffocate, and you know, they let you in and then they just close it all down. And Sorokin played a great game as well. There wasn't a ton of, you know, they didn't have a ton of grade A chances, but you know, it's a tough game. And you know, it was one of those things you want to see how the Jets would respond after playing last night, especially when it was such a loose game. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to be essentially the opposite type of game against the Islanders, and that's exactly what we saw. So not terribly surprising, I didn't think, but you know, I think it was the biggest thing for the Jets right now is you can manage the loss. It's what's happening with Mark Scheifele and Paul Stastny, because you know, losing two players is less than ideal, especially given the fact that the Moose are right now playing in Chicago. So I mean, it's not that far to go, and they'll be in Rockford tomorrow. But we'll see what happens with those two and how they're feeling. I think the Jets are off tomorrow, so we'll have to wait till Monday to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly right. So the concern for the Winnipeg Jets following tonight's contest is the health of Stastny, the health of Scheifele. You saw Stastny take that slap shot off the leg, and he was hobbled by it, certainly. And you saw Scheifele trying to, you know, shake off whatever was ailing him, trying to take some, you know, trying to get on the ice and loosen up his leg for whatever problem he had there. But you know, full marks to the New York Islanders. I mean, I'm seeing in the chat already that people are upset, and I understand that. And you know, I didn't think the Jets played a terrible hockey game.
No,
I thought that the better team tonight was undoubtedly the New York Islanders. And when the Islanders are playing that style of game, and they're playing it as effectively as we know how they can play it, it's difficult for any team to beat them, not just the Winnipeg Jets. I don't think this game says the Jets are not, you know, in the one of the better teams in the NHL. It might say that the New York Islanders are truly one of the best teams in the NHL, though. So I think this is more as much about the Islanders as it is about the Winnipeg Jets after tonight's contest.
Well, I mean, the Islanders aren't coming in here stumbling and bumbling. They are now on a 7-game point streak. I think they're 5-0 and 2. So you've got a team that's feeling pretty good about their game, and they're confident. And you know, one of the comments, did you see any of the Islanders out of position? No, that's a hallmark of a Barry Trotz team is you know, strong positional play. And so that's what you see. And they're never flashy. They're never terribly exciting, although, you know, Matt Barzal would suggest otherwise. Yeah. Especially when he stole that puck off Josh Morrissey in the third period and then rang it off the crossbar. But, you know, generally you know what you're getting. And again, I think tonight was a classic case of you know, Barry Trotz hockey and the types of teams that he plays. And I thought Brock Nelson was effective. You know, I mean, Adam Lowry lowered the boom on him. Yeah. But
Nelson got the last laugh.
Nelson got the last laugh with the second goal, the insurance goal, which kind of felt like it, you know, deflated the Jets, because there were a couple, and you know, the Jets were, I mean, there were a couple of 2-on-1s that they gave up, obviously on the Nelson goal, and then then subsequently, I think it was Stanley got beat, and there was another 2-on-1, but Connery made that stop. So they're opportunistic. They take advantage of mistakes that you make, and I just thought that the Islanders were a very good team, a team that had been in Winnipeg waiting for the Jets, you know, watching the game last night. Yeah. And so they'll, you know, we'll see what they'll do tomorrow, because they're going to be in Minnesota tomorrow night and they're going to play a back-to-back. But, Yeah, I mean, there's no excuses. I think that, you know, I agree with you, Drew. I didn't think the Jets had a horrible game. I didn't think it generated a ton, but I just thought it was kind of what you expected. You thought if the Jets could get one early, it might give them some life. If they could get something and get a little bit of good feeling, that might give them that jump to get going in this game. And they never got that. And as a result, you know, the Islanders were able to kind of impose their will, I thought, in the for most of the contest.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. And frankly, after Brock Nelson made it 2-0, you know, very early in the third period, I didn't, you know, not to say the Jets couldn't come back, because they obviously have the firepower necessary, but I didn't get the impression. I mean, a Barry Trotz team, especially when as good as the New York Islanders, with as quality goaltending as Ilya Sorokin has been providing them, what did they hear? That's his third shutout. in their first 9 games, is that correct? I mean, that's incredible. I mean, it's just goes to show you that such a well-coached team with such defensive prowess and such attention to detail. I mean, I know I talk about attention to detail a lot, but you know, it matters. And it's not that the Winnipeg Jets, I don't think, didn't have attention to detail tonight. I mean, they certainly made more mistakes than the New York Islanders. And when you make mistakes against a team like the Isles, it will end up costing you. I mean, Josh Morrissey's pinch on the on the goal that eventually was scored by Brock Nelson was an ill-advised pinch. And I understand why he was trying to do it. You're trying to generate something, but you know, it was surgical, the Islanders' performance. And you know, they get the 2-0 goal at that point in time. Anders Lee makes it 1-0, you know, a few minutes in the first period on what to me looked like a blown coverage by Mark Scheifele. I can't say for certain if it was Scheifele, but he looked like he was the guy who was trailing a little bit on the play, and maybe should have had Anders Lee
covered a little bit
closer.
If anybody would have covered Anders Lee, I mean, Pionk, Dillon were both behind the net looking, you know, Neil Pionk looked like he was trying to get to the front of the net, realizing that, you know, I mean, there was a nice move. You know, Dillon got, as they were going in on the forecheck, got just a little bit of a hook, and it kind of threw him off because I think he may have had the puck otherwise clean. He didn't, and as a result, good forecheck by the Islanders. Eventually, puck goes right to Lee, and Eric Comrie has no chance on that because, you know, it's in the back of the net before he even has a chance to try and get set.
Exactly right. I'm going to get rid of the person who's telling us to satisfy their wishes online.
I just did. It's all good.
They're gone. Okay. You know, my wishes are satisfied. Unfortunately, it looks like we blocked. Unfortunately, one bridge 11. I don't know how do you
unblock? Yeah, that's unfortunate. He or she was in close proximity to the webcam person, so.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out write down that name, Dave. One Bridge 11. We're going to have to figure out a way to unblock One Bridge 11. Apologies. I think we can probably do that hopefully through YouTube. So One Bridge 11, if you're watching, you will be unblocked in no time. We apologize for that. But in any event, we're trying to get rid of any of these spam ads that occasionally will populate popular, you know, YouTube broadcast like this one. Good evening to everybody. Nice to see so many of you back with us again after you were with us this morning. I hope everyone had a nice 12 hours in between last appearances here. But this is the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew Mandel and Dave Minuk with you here on this Saturday night talking about the Jets' defeat at the hands of the New York Islanders. The Jets had a little bit of life there. That late penalty call, the one, I think it was on Matt Barzal, takes an undisciplined offensive zone penalty late in the third period, and the Jets just couldn't do anything at that point. I mean, I think you saw at that point sort of some of the fatigue settle in. They couldn't settle the puck, Dave. They couldn't really gain the zone and establish the power play, even on that 6-on-4 situation that they had. I think that's really where you saw some of the fatigue. It's a hard game to play. I mean, the NHL game is a hard game to play night in, night out. No question about that. It's an especially hard game to play on the second half of a back-to-back against a team like the Islanders when they're rested and they're waiting for you. I mean, it's, you know, fatigue isn't just physical. A lot of it is physical, of course. But I think the mental fatigue on a night like tonight is even more of a factor than the physical fatigue, because there's no travel involved. You're not, you know, you played last night. You had an easy win last night. You're back at it tonight, you know, the full 24 hours later. But I think it was the mental fatigue that I think you saw begin to factor into tonight's contest, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. And you know, I mean, they said on the broadcast, were the Jets expecting that? I can't imagine that you would go into that game expecting anything similar to what, you know, ultimately cost Chicago Blackhawks head coach Jeremy Colladin his job. After,
as it should have. I mean, I don't take any pleasure in calling for the and it's not his fault, obviously. The players quit. They quit playing on him, though.
You can't fire the entire team, so you have to do something. So they fired the Blackhawks. They quit on him.
So there was no. You couldn't bring him back again, expecting to get any better results. It was rock bottom
last night for
the Blackhawks.
That's right, and so they ultimately, you know, cost him his job, and the Jets couldn't have anticipated, you know, like I said, a Barry Trotz team coming in here and playing anything close to that what we saw last night. So you had to know it was going to be a different sort of game. And oh, they're back! Damn it! Why did you highlight it, Drew? Stop highlighting it, for God's sakes! Holy moly! Let me get rid of them. Yeah, and don't get rid of OneBridge12 or whatever his new username is going to be.
Yeah.
Anyways,
this is what I was trying to show. I was trying to show Jason's comment on the screen saying, and that's what the Isles do. So many blocked shots and shots fired wide, trying to pick a corner. There was no room for the Jets to try and get in there.
I mean, you
saw that anytime that they had what looked like a clear shooting lane, it collapsed very quickly because the Isles just. They collapse in front of the goalie, and I mean, good luck trying to pick a corner or get a puck past there. It's a matter of playing Plinko off of three different guys, and maybe a puck lands at somebody's feet properly. But that's, I mean, it's a real frustrating game. I imagine it is to play against a team like the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, and they're, you know, they know how to play. I mean, you might not enjoy it, you might not think it's barn burning hockey, but. There's a reason why Barry Trotz has won a Stanley Cup and been to the conference finals as many times as he has. It's not by mistake. And so he knows how to coach. He's, you know, I mean, as he's got that, they've got that fourth line that they love to roll out. He's not afraid to use them pretty much in all situations. So I think, you know, you just see the hallmark of a good team. And that's what these guys are. And, you know, they had an unusual schedule. There's no question about it. No home games, obviously, on the road. And, you know, you heard the way they were talking on the broadcast, what they were doing, how he gave the guys 3 days off in between.
Yeah, they played four games in the last 2 weeks, basically, is what they were at.
And so like I said, you can't come in. If the Jets would have gotten a point out of this game, that would have been a pretty big victory in my books coming off of back-to-back. Again, I understand it's without travel, but it's still a lot more difficult for the Jets than it is for a fresh Islanders team. But I think probably the number one thing, you know, positive that you would take out of a game if you're looking at it from a glass half full sort of perspective is, again, the play of Eric Comrie. I thought he was sharp once again in net for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, four starts in 11 games for Comrie, something that nobody would have anticipated, you know, at the beginning of the season, having that happen, you know, before probably game 40. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably when you're anticipating Comrie play his fourth game, not at game 11. So he has stepped up, and he has, I think, quieted down a lot of the people who had doubt about his capabilities, which is important, right? And, you know, look, he wasn't going to win every game. I was jokingly, after his wins, was like, three games played, three wins, you know? And like,
I saw that,
you know, so and people were enjoying that. But I didn't anticipate that it would be four, five. Like, you know, he is human after all. But like, what it ultimately comes down to is you'll have that confidence in him. It sounds to me like Connor Hellebuyck will be ready to go. I mean, they're going to have a practice on Monday, play again on Tuesday against the Blues. And, you know, Palmerie said that he was lobbying to get back in the net. So that was at the pregame availability. I mean, the morning availability at Canada Life Center this morning. So my suspicion is that Connor Hellebuyck is going to be ready to play on. He'll practice on Monday, is my guess, provided everything checks out. And he would play, obviously, Tuesday and Thursday and get back in the net. And, you know, but again, this tonight's game wasn't about the goaltending. Right, because the goaltending was pretty good. It's about the goal scoring, and that's an area that this Jets team, you know, hasn't had really a problem doing is scoring goals. And you know, look, like I said, they got shut down by an Islanders team that knows how to shut other teams down. So not ideal, but you'll have another tough test in St. Louis, and that's what we knew this was going to be. Right, we knew this was going to be. You had that first 10 games of the schedule wasn't anything difficult. You know, there were picks that the Jets could be 8-2 at the end of the 10-game block. Instead, they're not, but, you know, you come into this next section, you got some more tougher competition. So you didn't win against the Islanders. Now you'll have a day off tomorrow. You'll be back on the ice Monday. Like I said, question marks as to what's the status of Scheifele and Stastny. Mm-hmm. But once you have that kind of figured out, you'll see what you're going to look like against Tuesday against, like I said, another tough team in St. Louis.
Yeah, absolutely. And the game against St. Louis won't be like this game. So I think the Jets, you know, when they're talking about this contest and they're looking at the video, they're going to say that I think for a lot of the game, they're reasonably pleased with how they played and how their game looked. Obviously, they weren't able to penetrate the impenetrable force that is the New York Islanders defense. But I think that, you know, for a lot of the game, they're going to say if our game resembles this against St. Louis, a good team, a quality team, but a team that the Jets would probably, you know, equate themselves to for the most part, mm-hmm. You know, that they're going to be in a comfortable spot. So, you know, it's not like they abandoned their MO. And I think that's important. You want your game to look similar game in and game out. And, you know, I thought that that's what you're going to see from this Winnipeg Jets team is that they weren't cheating. They don't need to cheat to get offense. Typically, you know, they have enough guys who can get the puck out of their own zone. It's not, you know, it's not Panic City to get the puck out of their own zone or anything. And it wasn't tonight either. They were able to get the puck out of their own zone. They just weren't able to generate anything, I'd say, in the Isles zone because of how New York plays. They just play such a suffocating style that it really does make it difficult on teams to get success against them offensively. And that's how the Jets are going to obviously have to figure something out, how to get success against a team like the Islanders. But truly, there aren't very many teams in the NHL who play the style that the Isles do and or play it as well as the Isles do. Some of the other teams will play a defensive style, but they won't be able to do it to the same success that the New York Islanders do it, Dave.
No, that's a very good point. And, you know, St. Louis is a pretty solid team. So, I mean, you're going to have to be on your toes again, not to the same degree. I agree with you, Drew. There aren't many teams like the New York Islanders. I would argue because there's not very many coaches that are as good as Barry Trotz, which is I'm not here to represent the Dauphin, Manitoba, and Barry Trotz fan club. But like I said, I think he is a exceptional head coach, and I think he can, you know, he's done it already, and he'll continue to do it with whatever sort of weapons he's been given. So, you know what, it's like, it would be an interesting, like I said, I think fans would have more right to be concerned if this wasn't, you know, if this was even, if both teams had had a day off yesterday and play came together today, well, we would see what it was like and whether the Jets had that, remove that sluggishness. Because even on that second goal, there was a lot of standing around in the neutral zone. It looked like three Jets players were just standing watching the play go by them. And then eventually you got a 2-on-1 and it's in the back of the net with Nelson, right? So to me, that was where you're – and it becomes a function of, is the 11-7 starting to wear on this team? Is it starting to have an impact on the legs of these guys? Because they've been running it quite a bit. And I'm not looking for excuses. I'm just trying to, you know, have an explanation as to what we were seeing. So, you know, it's not a hard back-to-back in the sense that there's no travel. Right. So, I mean, back-to-backs aren't easy. It's still more difficult to play them if you know, you'd rather be a team not playing in a back-to-back. But the truth is, is the 11-7 having an impact on them? And ironically enough, it was 9-7 by the end of the game. So not exactly an ideal situation for a team.
No, certainly not. That's not how you want to play it. You might have been playing it. You might have been playing three lines anyways, but that's about. You would have preferred that to be by your prerogative and not necessarily due to the course of injury in that case. It was a tough night for the Winnipeg Jets. Certainly, my understanding is that the Bombers game is. Have the Bombers won? People in the chat, you can advise us what's happening in the Bomber game. I think they turned over the Montreal and Downs, but. It looks like the Bombers are close to winning again tonight and not giving up any points in the fourth quarter again, because they're just absolutely one of the most incredible defenses in the history of the CFL. So kudos to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Nice to see so many of you in the chat room on this Saturday evening talking about the Jets' defeat at the hands of... Sorry, T-Will. I didn't realize you were recording. My bad on that one. I guess I should have said spoiler alert there. Sorry about
Drew, that. What's my going apologies. On? You're screwing up everything tonight. You blocked poor T Bridge or T, whatever his name was. And now I've been trying to figure out how to get him unblocked. I have no idea. It's not showing up on me on the screen. So
we'll figure it out after.
Feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, I know. We'll figure it all out after. You know,
just wants to be part of the illegal curve hockey show.
You know what, Dave? It's not just the Jets players who have fatigue. This is our third show in the last 24 hours.
That's
less
true.
Than 24 hours. So
that is true.
Fatigue from us as well, unfortunately, as the case may be. You know, I go back to you want to look at sort of that TSN turning point in tonight's contest. You know, Mark Scheifele with that wide open net.
Yeah.
And you know, if he puts that in, it's 1-1. You know, it's a different contest altogether. You know, the Jets obviously have the jump at that point in time. And that's, you know, Mark Scheifele scores on that opportunity way more often than not. And whatever reason tonight, he just wasn't able to find the twine. And you know, it's it ends up not being the game winning goal, but, you know, certainly a key factor in tonight's game, that miss by Mark Scheifele. And, you know, a guy who's, I don't want to say he's fighting the puck, but I think he's sort of, you know, still trying to get his hands back, unless it's a shootout situation, of course, since the absence from the COVID protocol.
Yeah, that was a big miss by him for sure. And like, you're right, Drew, that's 9 times out of 10, he would hit that shot. So that was a huge opportunity. It was a missed opportunity because it would have given this team probably quite a bit of life. So, you know, you can lament that, but you can also, you know, acknowledge that the Islanders had opportunities that didn't go into the back of the net for them as well. So, you know, like I said, Barzal hitting the crossbar on the breakaway, there were plenty of opportunities that didn't go in. So, you know, you can use that as a, you know, excuse. I know you're not, I'm just saying that it's one chance, and that doesn't define a whole game. So to me, it was a team that just didn't look like they had it going, and they had some opportunities, but, you know, the Islanders stifled, right? Like, the Jets could penetrate the zone, but then the Islanders just collapsed so well.
Everything was to the outside. Nothing was getting through.
So, you know, and that's where coaching comes into effect. You know, that's where you have to adjust your style. If it's not having success, trying the same thing over and over and over again throughout the course of the game isn't necessarily going to lead to success. Mm-hmm. So that's probably incumbent on Paul Maurice to do something different, to try and make some changes. And I know, look, he's had success, you know, in the last 8 games. This isn't a doomsday situation for the Winnipeg Jets by any stretch of the imagination. So don't take that from my comments. I just think that it was probably an opportunity to maybe do some moving and shaking and bobbing and weaving, you know, to try and get something going against the Islanders. Because, you know, the truth is, you just needed something greasy. You didn't need something fancy. You just needed something greasy, because that could have given the Jets some life, given them building a little bit of life. You know, Saturday night, national TV, although I know a lot of folks don't love being on the national broadcast, but I think it's one of those situations where something like that could have gotten this team going just as much as the Scheifele goal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dave. And the Jets weren't able to generate anything. They end up dropping tonight's game by a 2-0 margin to the New York Islanders. They drop on the season to 6 wins, 3 losses, and 2 overtime losses in the course of their 11 games. And they're next in action on Tuesday, another divisional game. They've had success in the division so far. A big game coming up on Tuesday night as the St. Louis Blues make their first visit of the season here to Winnipeg. Let's take our break. When we come back, we'll give an update on Mark Scheifele. We'll give away some prizes. We'll do some more about tonight's game. We'll look ahead to Tuesday against the Blues. Much more to come. Stick and stay, as our buddy Hustler likes to say. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the Illegal Curve Postgame Show, to be exact, live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media outlets.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed 2 fresh Bagelsmith bagels with Schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, I did. What's your point?
Come on, bagel boy, let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop located at 185 Carlton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He winds up. Oh! Looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Boston Pizza, the perfect place for a drink. Or the new pickle pizza. Across from this guy, who's getting his fill of some classic cactus-cut nachos. Next to some hockey fans that just saw a nasty OT winner. Boston Pizza. Enjoy some... What? Look at that guy. Just having a soak, eh? Eh, you do you. Enjoy some old fall favorites and some new ones, however you like, at Boston Pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the illegal curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk with you on this Saturday evening. Nice to see so many of you joining us to talk about the Winnipeg Jets, a defeat at the hands of the New York Islanders 2-0 earlier tonight. Here's the update courtesy of Paul Stastny via our buddy Scott Billick on Twitter.
Pardon me, Paul Stastny. Paul Stastny's a little bit of a coach, so I mean, it's not a surprise that you made that error, Drew, but yeah, there you go.
You know what I meant. Scott Billick, it was what Paul Maurice said. Mark Scheifele's status will be dictated by his swelling overnight. So obviously, you know, it's a questionable status for the Jets, number 55. Though, you know, he'll take tomorrow off.
With a third line center.
Yeah, third line center, you know, for now at least. And Paul Stastny, no update on Paul Stastny.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, there was more of an up. There was an update on Scheifele. That's unusual in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So obviously, practice on Monday will be an interesting place to watch to see who is healthy for the Winnipeg Jets. And of course, we'll have all that latest on illegalcurve.com ahead of Tuesday's game against the St. Louis Blues. If you haven't yet done so tonight, smash that like button. We always appreciate the support. That helps us here on our YouTube channel. And if you're new here and you haven't previously subscribed to the channel, go ahead and do that right now. Subscribe, ring the bell, get alerted each and every time we go live with the Illegal Curve post-game show, or we go live on Saturday morning with the Illegal Curve hockey show, celebrating 11 years of being on air on Saturday mornings here in Peg City. Dave, the people have been clamoring for it. They've been asking for it. They've been needing it. It's time for everybody's favorite segment on the post-game show, the Minuk Moose Minute.
There's two things I would have to make note of before I begin. One is we probably need some sort of like thing that comes across the screen that introduces the Minuk Moose Minute.
Sure.
And second of all, how come it never lasts a minute? I mean,
you talk for too long.
Yeah, there's usually a pretty good preamble there. Moose are in Chicago to play the second game of the six-game road trip. Simon Lundmark, 2019 second rounder, he was a healthy scratch for Nelson Noje, who came back in, and the Moose got rolling early. Christian Vesalainen scored his first AHL goal of the season, and he whipped it in. It was a real nice shot, actually, on a rebound. I think it was Jeff Malott who took the shot. And then Nicholas Jones, the Alberta product, he scored to make it 2-0, so the Moose were rolling early. And then Johnny Kovacevic, go check it out. I tweeted the goal. He looked more like a forward than he did a defenseman, the way he put it in. He set up the play, and he also finished it off. And the assists on that one were to Ville Heinola and Cole Perfetti. So it was quite a Jets prospects impact on that third goal by the Manitoba Moose. Moose gave up a goal to make it 3-1. And then Jimmy Olney, the veteran, probably the lone veteran on their roster right now.
I was going to say, that's a name. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah. So Jimmy Olney scored his first goal, I want to say in a while, actually, to give the Moose a 4-1 lead, which is where things, last I checked was where things stood. So the Moose are rolling in Chicago. That's a good for them that they're bouncing back after their OT defeat in Milwaukee last night. And so they'll see if they can hold off and win it in Chicago against the Wolves, against their biggest rival, I would argue. And then tomorrow they'll be in Rockford. We don't know if all of the Moose will be in Rockford. Perhaps some will be boarding planes to get back to Winnipeg, although I suspect they'll probably let them play tomorrow. And then if they needed them, call them back on Monday. But the Moose are into Rockford for, I think it's a 4 o'clock start tomorrow afternoon for what we call a 3-on-3, which for the record is why Eric Comrie playing a 2-and-2, it's like, this is no big deal. This is old hat for a guy who can sometimes play a 3-and-3. So that's your Moose update. The prospects, just prospects were rolling. And the Moose look like they're going to, as far as I could tell, I haven't seen what's happening in the third period, but they were up 4-1 last I checked.
Well, there you go. Joe from Winnipeg is asking you, Dave, should he watch the Moose game?
Yes.
There you go. Simple answer like that. I see Earl James here on the screen has identified that the bagel anniversary is the 11-year anniversary. It's actually the steel anniversary, but that's okay. Nonetheless, Earl, because of that comment, you have won some bagels from our friends at Bagelsmith here in Winnipeg. Send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com. Or you can tweet me @ICDrew, and we'll make sure we get you hooked up with your prize from our friends at Bagelsmith, getting some bagels to get your Sunday off to a right foot, or pick them up next week. Whatever you need, you can get some bagels courtesy of our friends at Bagelsmith. The Jets, Dave, next in action on Tuesday against the St. Louis Blues. What are you expecting to see on Tuesday? What are you looking to see on Tuesday as the Jets will try again to keep pace in the Central Division and have a good result against the Central Division rival?
Well, I mean, they have to return to the way they were playing against previously. And, you know, you want to play a little bit of a heavier game. I thought that the Jets laid off the body. They weren't. I mean, Adam Lowry had some good hits. Like I said, that thunderous hit on Brock Nelson, I think, in the second period. But maybe it was the first period. I can't remember. But the point is, you know, I think the physicality sometimes helps. And, you know, I think one of the comments I just saw it in the chat said, you know, the Islanders have a heavy fourth line. Well, Jets don't really have a fourth line right now because they got two players on it.
That's the Clutterbuck, Cizikas, Martin line that we have to contractually, even though Ezzy's not here, we have to mention that line because he talks about that line ad nauseum.
Yes, and it look, there's a reason why they've been together for 450 years at this point, right? Mm-hmm. They've talked about consistency, right? And they're, again, like I said, there's a reason why the New York Islanders go to the Stanley Cup, you know, or the conference finals year after year, or are always, you know, a team with Barry Trotz that can do damage. So I think to answer your question about what the Jets need to do against the Blues, I think they need to get back to playing a faster game. You know, they seemed bogged down by the New York Islanders quite a bit tonight. And I think that's what they're going to have to do is use that speed. Craig Button talked about it on our show, that idea of being, you know, having speed and, you know, they're going to have to limit the mistakes because they made mistakes today. And then when they did, they either got burnt by them or they almost got burnt by them. And you know, that's not sage wisdom there. That's fairly obvious, but it's true. I mean, it's just one of those. I mean, this is hockey is a game of errors, right? Like if you make a mistake, the other team is good enough to burn you. And so we'll see. And I think the Jets probably will have a little bounce. They must have bounced the way they were playing in front of Eric Comrie, because I thought, you know, he was able to see there was a lot of, you know, the one thing I did think the Jets did well is they thought they cleared the front of the net. So Comrie did see the shots.
Yeah.
I thought that was important, that element of what they hadn't done it so well, but I thought they did that well tonight. And, you know, we'll see if they can do that. And again, a lot of this will be contingent on what happens with Mark Scheifele, Paul Stastny. Mm-hmm. Does that mean Christian Vesalainen and David Gustafson get called up from the Manitoba Moose, you know, on Sunday/Monday? There's a good chance. I mean, I would think David Gustafson would be my next guy called up in addition to Christian Vesalainen. He's probably feeling good, you know, having scored his first AHL goal, even though he's already got an NHL goal this season. But, you know, scoring for guys like that are always, it's always a reward. It always makes them feel good. So we'll see if the Moose can, what is required from the Manitoba Moose while they're on their 6-game road trip.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know, if these injuries are, if they're not serious injuries, and I don't think that either of them would be considered serious injuries, mm-hmm. but if they're injuries where they don't allow the players to play in the next game, the Jets are really going to be a little bit in a roster crunch because of you know, they don't have very many moves left that they can make in terms of, you know, bringing guys up, sending guys down, staying salary cap compliant and everything else. It's getting a little bit tight, and you might see some interesting cap gymnastics have to be played by the Winnipeg Jets front office, depending on the health of Scheifele and Stastny ahead of Tuesday night's game against St. Louis. So that's another sort of subplot that you're going to have to keep an eye on over the next couple of days as the situation unfolds within the Winnipeg Jets camp, Dave.
Yeah, and I think I said at the beginning of the season, and Donnie Boy, as much as we love doing this show, even though time changes, you know, tonight,
yeah,
we're not going to be doing it an hour later or an hour longer. Sorry, that's as much as I love it. We gotta make sure that illegalcurve.com gets updated in time, otherwise people will get mad there. So
well, also we gotta make sure that the Illegal Curve marriages don't collapse.
That's also very important. Yeah. No, I mean, I've completely sidetracked myself because we were talking about the show.
We're talking about salary cap.
Salary cap. Yeah, no, I was going to say is at the beginning of the season, one of the things I said was Larry Simmons is going to be worth his weight in gold, the assistant general manager for the Jets, who's in charge of cap. And it's definitely going to be something that you have to factor. I mean, one of the storylines they talked about on the broadcast tonight was the idea of the St. Louis Blues asking for cap relief. Now, that was with respect to COVID, and the NHL basically said no, which – again, I mean, at this point, you can't do it because it's too late. I mean, it's not fair to make an exception now. It's insane to think that they didn't do it. I mean, there's no point in crying over spilled milk, but it is a dumb thing given the fact that there's a pandemic still going on and it's still going to have ramifications on teams. And to have not factored that in as if everything is going to be pie in the sky healthy, well, we're seeing that it isn't. And we're seeing that guys who are vaccinated can still get COVID, right? So the idea that they didn't factor that in to the year seems like a very short-sighted way of doing business.
Wishful thinking and an oversight.
Yeah, and I think it. You know, I mean, and again, it doesn't really matter because every team has to deal with it. So it's not as if one team in particular is any more disadvantaged or prejudiced because of it. I just think it's a function of you look at what happened to St. Louis, and they had to ask for cap relief because they wanted to try and bring up it was Scott Prevent, what's his name? He played for the Bulldogs. He was on Sandberg's team.
Pernovich?
Is
it Pernovich?
Yeah, it's something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. I only know Jets Moose in the prospects. I can't focus on other team, but I don't think we're pronouncing it 100% right. But anyways, the point is that that's who they want to bring up. And they essentially couldn't because they didn't have the cap space to do it. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, Drew. It does make for a...
There it is. Scott Perunovic. There. Thank you from Justin there.
I know. I knew the name. I just didn't know how to pronounce the last name. I didn't want to butcher his name. So
so you just threw me under the bus.
I did know that he was a Bulldog, and that was about it. But anyways, the point is that he's been doing very well in their AHL system right now, and they wanted to call him up. They couldn't do it because of their cap, you know, situation. And that's going to be something that's going to be potentially could be a factor for the Jets. Now, of course, we don't know the health of either of those two players. So it could be that it's a moot point because they may need IR. We don't know what's going to happen. Who knows? But anyways, we'll see. There's no point in speculating on that in that regard because, you know, like I said, we won't know anything until Monday.
We'll know more on Monday. We'll know more on Tuesday, of course, as the Jets next do battle with the St. Louis Blues. Jets dropped tonight's contest by a 2-0 margin, as we mentioned, to the New York Islanders. That's it for tonight's post-game show. We appreciate everybody joining us here on this Saturday night. We'll let you get on with your evenings, whatever fun you have in store for you. We do always appreciate your support, though. A big thank you to you for all of you for joining us, and to our sponsors who make this show and the website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Bagelsmith, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, and our newest sponsor, Rolly's Transfer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. If you haven't yet done so, on your way out, smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That way you'll get alerted each and every time we go live here on our YouTube feed on for the post-game shows and on Saturday morning. One final reminder, if you haven't yet bought some IC merchandise and you want to buy some and get it delivered before the end of the month, you have to do so before midnight tonight. Go onto our website, illegalcurve.com. Click on the merchandise button, follow the links, get your way to some last minute IC merchandise. Like our buddy Ty in the Brokery said in the chat, that go right now, get some IC merchandise before it's too late. Thank you to everyone for joining us on this Saturday night. Thank you to everyone who joined us on Saturday morning. And thank you to everyone who joined us last night as well. It's been a busy 24 hours for us. We do appreciate the support.
Well, you know what? And more importantly, folks, it's a day off for the Jets. The Moose are playing at 4, so I expect everyone to pay attention. Maybe we'll have a pop-up show at 4 at 7 o'clock when that game ends. We won't. But you know, before the Moose game, everybody get outside and enjoy this gorgeous weather because it's supposed to be another 13 or 14 degrees tomorrow and it's supposed to be nice on Monday. I'm not complaining. This has been a spectacular, probably the nicest fall I can ever remember to be able to wear shorts into November. Has been phenomenal. So get out there, enjoy your the weekend weather here in Winnipeg and around Manitoba and wherever you are.
There you go. Well said, Mr. Manouk. For Dave Manouk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching. Until Tuesday night in the Illegal Curve post-game show after the Jets and the Blues, we wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.